to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back and joined by Ann Corcoran, the editor of Refugee Resettlement Watch, a woman who has really transformed herself by hard work and extraordinary writing abilities into one of the country's go-to authorities on the issue of how we are bringing hundreds of thousands of people, many of them Muslim and not a few jihadists, into this country under something known as the Refugee Resettlement Program. She is the author of a brand new monograph, I'm very pleased to say, published by the Center for Security Policy Press, entitled Refugee Resettlement and the Hijra to America. Anne, welcome back. It's good to have you with us as always.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Frank.
Much in the news at the moment, Anne, is a refugee resettlement program of a kind, rather ad hoc and not altogether legal, but nonetheless very much in the public eye, a humanitarian disaster, it's being described as, by which untold numbers of people, many of them from sub-Saharan Africa, some from Northern Africa, are now migrating to Europe in boats, rickety boats, or being washed overboard or what have you. What are the insights for us in terms of what is happening now in Europe as it tries to cope with this refugee influx and do so in a way that, again, many are encouraging us to follow suit on?
Frank, it's really quite tragic. It's tragic for not only the refugees or even the legal aliens, if you will, whose lives are lost in this, but it's tragic for Europe, and it's tragic because there is no will in European Union to stop this. It's really quite an outrage. Tens of thousands of migrants are crossing over from those failed states like Libya to Europe. Who knows who are in these boats? But even if there's not a single terrorist, the economic impact on Europe is just profound. Let me just say that Australia has figured out what to do. The Abbott government, not new anymore, but the Abbott government is turning the boats back. And frankly, that is all that will save Europe now, is to turn those boats back to the North African coast.
They don't, as you say, seem to have the will to do it. And the question really is, are numbers of those people likely to wind up here as well, including some notably who have arrived in a place called Malta, an island off the coast of the continent of Europe?
Yeah, one of the things that has outraged me, and I followed this for 7 years, and it began in the Bush administration, is that a large number of these migrants land on the island of Malta, one of the first pieces of land they get to. And Malta is being besieged by the numbers. And for some inexplicable reason, the Bush administration decided about 7 years ago to start bringing in quote-unquote refugees from Malta. These are really illegal aliens that landed on the island of Malta. It is not the European Union's problem. It is not our problem. It is outside the normal refugee process to be doing this. And it's beyond me to understand why we started to do this. Who are these illegal aliens landing on Malta that end up in our towns and cities in the United States?
Yeah, and I want to cover a couple of different aspects of this. I know you've just recently completed a tour of some of the towns in which refugees are being deposited up in Minnesota. Trey Gowdy, the chairman of the Immigration and Border Security Subcommittee of the Judiciary Committee in the Congress, has recently expressed concern about a number of these migrants coming to Spartanburg in his district. There is a growing concern, I think, and you've really helped us all understand why we should be concerned about this, about who these people are, about our ability to vet them, about the number that are Muslim, and that's not necessarily a problem, but if they're coming from places where Sharia is kind of the norm and they seek to impose it here, including possibly violently, that is a problem. Talk a little bit about your insights from the travels you've recently undertaken in Minnesota, and perhaps maybe stitch in some of the other insights that you've garnered from both Trey Gowdy's letter to the State Department and, for that matter, Senator Jeff Sessions' committee hearing recently on what's been coming out of Central America and mutations to our policies as a result of that.
Right. I think one of the most important things I would like to leave your listeners with on this whole subject, whether it's Minnesota or South Carolina or one of the other 190-plus places in the United States where refugees are being literally dropped off, is that citizens and local communities are entitled to have all the facts in advance. Who is coming? Who's paying for it? Where are they going to work? And all of those kinds of questions need to be asked and answered in these communities, again, whether Spartanburg or the towns in Minnesota. Unfortunately, for the towns in Minnesota, this has been going on for a couple of decades, and nobody ever apparently asked the question. The local elected officials didn't ask the questions. Why is this happening? Who's bringing them? And so on and so forth. So unfortunately, their population of needy refugees, and of course their population now of, you know, prospective jihadists who we know from the Somali community are leaving Minnesota to join al-Shabaab or ISIS. The communities are so far along, I don't know if there's much hope, I'm sad to say, for Minnesota in this regard. Spartanburg still has a chance. Rep. Trey Gowdy's letter, everybody should look it up. It's a fabulous letter. I have, in these 8 years, I have never seen a elected official take that kind of a strong stand, ask those same questions every town is asking.
And is entitled to have answers to, as you say. And it will be interesting to see whether the chairman of the oversight committee gets answers to these questions when so many of us have not. And anything on the insights about what's being done in Central America that Senator Sessions focused on, not just in terms of that migration through the refugee resettlement program, but also whether this might be abused by the administration to bring people in from, say, Syria or maybe Yemen and other parts.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll get to the Central American thing in a minute, but I was tickled to see that Senator Jeff Sessions, in that hearing you referenced last week, did say that he has concerns for this high number of Syrians that is being discussed for the United States. The United Nations has picked us already 11,000 Syrians. They wanted them in here by the end of this fiscal year, which is September 30th. 11,000 have been selected by the UN for us already. The contractors, when I speak of the contractors, these resettlement contractors, one of them came, David Miliband, who heads one of them, has come out with a request that 65,000 Syrians be admitted to the U.S. before the end of Obama's term in office.
These are people coming out of refugee camps that are run by the al-Nusra Front and perhaps also the Islamic State. The Islamic State has indicated they're willing to use these immigration programs to bring in terrorists into this country. I mean, we are on notice. The FBI says they can't vet these people. And this is crazy. And your monograph, Refugee Resettlement and the Hijra to America, goes into greater detail than we can today on how this works. And I think the American people will be horrified when they discover what's being done in their name. And just very quickly, last question, talk about this New Americans initiative and how communities are supposed to welcome them.
Yeah, that's Obama's latest program. All the communities in America are going to be literally, probably in some way, forced to become more welcoming to the refugee. Well, let's just call them, as Obama Committee Task Force on New Americans called them, he called them the seedlings that will be planted in the soil of your communities. And you can bet there will be some punishment for towns that are not deemed sufficiently welcoming down the line on this.
We're told 16 agencies are now throwing their weight behind programs to, as you say, probably reward a carrot and stick, but also punish communities if they don't get with the program of welcoming these people. There's also, you've discovered private sector foundations that are trying to train local authorities to understand that they better get with this program as well. And there's so much more to talk about. I hope you'll come back and let us do it at greater length soon. Your book is absolutely required reading. Check it out, folks. It's available for free online at securefreedom.org. Refugee Resettlement and the Hijra to America. Keep up the great work at Refugee Resettlement Watch and come back to us again very soon. And I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.